Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 372, The Father's Heart. Guest minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this message on Sunday, May 26th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hallelujah. Hi, everybody. Welcome. I want you to stand with me. Shake out the I've been sitting for too long. I want you to turn on your fresh ears, your fresh heart to receive from the Father, because this message is the Father. This is his message. So we just thank you, Jesus. We just thank you for what you've done to show us the heart of the Father. Father God, we just come to you right now with open hearts. We want to hear from you. Use my voice, use my tongue, use my lips to speak what you want to speak to the people. Father, I pray they use their ears to hear, their spiritual ears to hear, and receive directly from you without seeing me. Just see your heart. That's the goal. We thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us and prompting our hearts. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, shake it out. Have a seat. Woo! You need a couple of hallelujahs before we start?
Hallelujah.
There we go. Yes, we're going to hear from the Lord. I love this. I love this. I love serving God, and today I have the opportunity to share. So I start out with the Father's heart. In the Word, we read Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Where the Father spoke to the children of Israel his plan for his future kingdom, and his name was Jesus. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So about 700 years later, when Jesus read this in Luke 4, 18 and 19 in the temple, it explained his reason for being on the earth. He came to fulfill what God had spoken. And in Isaiah 55, 11, we read, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Jesus was the Word, the living Word, and he came to be wounded and crucified for our salvation. When he said, "It is finished," the Word was complete, and he was able to return to the Father. Having accomplished what the Father's heart desired and having achieved the purpose for which he sent it, everything we need has already been accomplished by Jesus Christ. And we can see in these verses the heart of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
So a great example for us to see this played out would be the story of Zacchaeus. Y'all remember the wee little man? Can we sing it? "And the wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see." Right? We know this song. I mean, come on, your heart's got to sing it, right? So Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he was trying to see who Jesus was. But Jesus was really the one seeking him. Zacchaeus was lost. He was lost to his parents, lost to religion, lost to his community, and lost to whatever friends he might have had, but he was not lost to God. So in Luke 19, 9 and 10, Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." So in Greek, the words in this verse, "seek and save," describes a search that is so intense that it can be compared to an investigation. Jesus is investigating to find you, to find people. He's looking. It also means the word craves. Jesus craves the lost to come to him. You know what it's like when you're craving chocolate ice cream? You just got to have it. That's what Jesus does for us, for the lost. He craves them to come into his kingdom. He wants none to be lost. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you are lost. Lost means separated from Christ in whatever capacity that is. From all the way lost to only partially lost to just in one area lost. If you are separated from Christ in any area of your life, you're lost. We can lack understanding of the word and not have it actively working in our lives. We can become the captive, the oppressed, the blind, and the brokenhearted. Some people are lost by their own choices or by spiritual ignorance. And some have gone astray or are missing the understanding in the word of God. But the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He craves you to be in with the Father. So now let's look at the parable of the lost sheep that Jesus spoke about in Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. I think our thingy's not working today, so I'm going to read it. And if you want to pull it up in your own Bibles, it's Luke 15. And we're going to read the first two verses to start. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. Who's him? Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and he eats with them." The tax collectors and the sinners were drawn to him and what he was teaching. He was offering them hope. Who needs hope? Yeah, this is what Jesus offers us, hope. We carry the same thing to those who are desperate, sick, lost, bound, oppressed. We carry that same hope to them when we speak Jesus. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law had the mindset of them and us. They divided humanity into two classes, the unclean and the righteous. They were completely separated, and some even refused to teach the unclean people the word of God. That's a hard heart. I think they were lost to Jesus. They didn't have the heart of the Father operating in them at all. So this parable that Jesus was speaking was spoken to them, but in the hearing of the tax collectors and sinners who drew near to Jesus to hear him speak. Jesus had every opportunity to address every person that he could at one time. So these crowds that were following him had also heard him teach about the cost of being his disciple. In the previous chapter, chapter 14, there's a cost to following Jesus, but yet they still followed him. So in Luke 14, 26, he said, "And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." And some of these words can be harsh if you really sit down and think about the meaning. Disciple. That's somebody who's following Jesus, not sitting on the path or, like Elizabeth said, asleep in the back row. A disciple is someone following Jesus, walking in the same direction as Jesus. And again, in verse 33, he said, "In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Ouch. That's a cost right there, right? Everything they have to follow Jesus. Keep walking, keep moving with Jesus. We cannot fall asleep. This is not the hour to be asleep. This is the hour to wake up. Elizabeth did a great job of exhorting us with that, preparing for this message. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They were still seeking after Jesus and the hope that he was talking about. Are we still seeking after Jesus to get that hope for ourselves? Do we have it for someone else? Because he was setting them free into a whole new life. And when Jesus does that, when he transforms you so much, you can't help but share that out. And y'all know I'm very passionate and zealous because I lived a life of oppression, complete down under oppression. And I don't live that way anymore. And I've been completely set free. Whoa! Yeah, I could scream, but this microphone couldn't handle it because I don't live that way anymore. I'm free. And I can't help but share that. I cannot help but share that. Yes, it costs something to follow Jesus, but if we want to experience the fullness of God in our lives, we need to be on mission with Jesus. If you want to know something more than what you know now, you need to get on mission with Jesus because it is a motorcycle ride. It is fun. It is wow. Hair blown in the wind, freedom. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We are blessed as we bless others. Gosh, how many of you ever just spoke a word to somebody and saw them light up in front of your eyes? You see people come back to life, Resurrection of the dead happens every day if you speak Jesus to somebody who is desperately needing him. They just come alive and they grab a hold like an anchor. Just help me. I need that anchor. Hold me. And it's so good. Jesus walked the earth for only 3 years, fulfilling his mission. And then he left instructions for us to continue in this ministry of the Father's heart. He said, freely you have received, freely give. Matthew 10:8. Now, if I would have just been set free and I'm now free from my chair in my living room and depression, and I just sat there with it in the living room, what good does that do? I mean, I'm happy. I'm set free. I'm excited. I'm loving Jesus. But what good does that do? Am I using what he gave me freely? He freely pulled me out of the pit, and then I don't do anything with it? I'm never going to experience the fullness of God, because the fullness of God is to go. It's his mission to go. And if you want to experience that, you better choose and get walking. So back to the story in Luke 15 on verse 3, it says, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you have 100 sheep and they loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go the lost sheep until he finds it? So the Lord gave me a personal revelation of this because, as people know, as I started transforming with the Lord, I just had to go tell people. So we were out on the streets 2 Saturdays in a row downtown Fort Wayne and met a homeless couple. 2 weekends in a row ran into the same couple, and all the people that are in Fort Wayne, is that not God? And so on Saturday, as we were talking to him the second time, I said, I'll come pick you up. Where do you want me to pick you up to bring you to church? And they said, we stay in the doorway of this church over here, but not till after 10, and we have to leave the doorway by, 8 o'clock. And I said, okay, I'll be there, but you better come with me, because I've been doing this a while, and every time I go, nobody gets in my car, but I go. And so this particular Sunday morning, I missed prayer time here, and I got in the car, I went and bought them donuts, and I got there, and they weren't in the doorway. So I'm like, God, where are they? And I went down the street and around the corner, and there they were. I found them. Thank you, Jesus. So I pull over. I say, ready? Get in the car. It's just him. And he's like, I said, well, I got some donuts. He's like, all right, well, I'm waiting for her. She comes out of where they were, comes out dressed in zombie clothes. And I was shocked. Her face was all white. She had blood coming out of her teeth. I'm like, you're going to church like that? Wow, that's awesome. We welcome you. And she said, no, we're going to the zombie walk today. I said, but remember we set up, I was picking you up and we were coming to church? And she said, yeah, I changed my mind. And I was first angry and then frustrated and then wanted to cry. And I said, here's your donuts. I just bought you some fresh donuts. And as I drove away, I'm like, Lord, why do you send me to these people? Why do you send me to these people that are not going to get in the car? I gave up prayer time with my people. I gave up being at church. Why? And I'm crying, and I'm driving to the church trying to get here in time. And he said, because you're willing. Amen. Because you're willing to go after the one. You leave the flock and you go for the one. I cried even harder. I couldn't believe the revelation that he just gave me. He said, you're willing. I'm not anymore, God. That's what I felt like. But no, I still go. I still try. I still, I've sat in trailer courts and waited at the pool for somebody to show up and drove back empty-handed. But I'm willing, because that's what he wants us to do. That's what he did. It's not up to me whether they get in the car. I've really gotten a revelation of that now. And it's okay. I'm not frustrated anymore. I'm like, hallelujah, I'm willing. Woohoo, he's going to use me. Because I can't carry that burden. That's not mine. That's not my burden. It's his. And so, I go do it joyfully now. Hallelujah. I also try to feed a little bit different set of sheep. That helps too. Says then, and when he finds it, the sheep that's lost, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Okay, let me just give you a few facts about sheep. God uses sheep, and none of you that have read that book back there know that sheep are sometimes a little bit slow. Sheep, number one, easily wander off. They just get distracted and they go and they do different things and they don't pay any attention to what the shepherd's doing or where the rest of the flock is. Number two, they are incapable of finding a way back to the flock. They get so far out, they know they need the shepherd, but they can't find him. They're lost now. They are incapable of finding their way back. Wow. Number three, a lost sheep would never save itself or find the shepherd on its own. They fall over upside down, they can't turn themselves back over. Whatever they are an animal that cannot find their way back. And number four, without the shepherd, the sheep is doomed. Why is God using sheep to talk about us? I mean, think about that. He's using sheep all the time, but he's talking mostly about the shepherd, right? It's how the shepherd watches the flock. It's how the shepherd guards his flock. It's how he brings us in. Praise God for the shepherd's hook. Get over here, sheep. Get over here. Get over here. Sometimes he uses people in this flock to get you with the stick. Come on, get it going. Get it going. We like to do that, but we want to be on mission with Jesus. So when Jesus finds us, he joyfully puts us on his shoulders and he takes us into the fold. He carries us in his own strength and he does not make us walk alone. He will shoulder the brunt of our struggles. He even took our iniquities upon himself all the way to his death. Wow, God is good. Verse 7 says, he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. All of heaven rejoices when the lost gets saved. Isn't that amazing? Just think about that. Oh, beautiful sound, right? We do that when we get somebody, right? Where we come back and give testimony. Yeah, it's so good. We rejoice. So God actively seeks out the lost. He does not do it grudgingly, like my heart was that day when I drove there, but searches for them. He goes after them. He finds them and receives them in whatever condition he gets them, and then he cleans them up. You imagine a lost sheep out there wandering around with briars in it and all twisted in its hair, got stuff going on and looking really bad. But God does that. He washes that sheep up, cleans it up. So the lost are not only unbelievers, but they can also be believers, if you haven't heard me say that already. The lost that God's heart for is anybody that is separated from Jesus. So if we're lost and we're in the hospital having this major crisis, we're lost from God if we're not seeking him for the healing. We're lost from God if we have a misunderstanding of the word that is not meant for me today. We're lost if we're in depression and we can't hear his voice because we can't just function. We're lost. I was so lost. I was in church every Sunday, but I was so lost from God. But he intensely sought me out. He investigated and craved for me to come back in. And he come and got me. And he cleaned me up. So I'm grateful. Those who have wandered off from the wandered off in any direction. We can be full of him and walking in that direction, but something bams us from the side, takes us down, and we are now just sitting there for a while. He comes and gets us, and he picks us up. He sends another person. He sends somebody to talk to us. He sends his Holy Spirit, all right? People that are walking alone, frightened, isolated, and are vulnerable to the wolves. When you're sitting down and you're in that funk, that's when the wolves can come. That's when the lies will come. That's when the twisting of the word comes. That's when those things happen. And so praise God for the other flock that come and get us and speak to us. We don't want to be in danger of the lies of the enemy, because these lies are told by the deceiver. And they can lead us away even further from the flock. If we listen to the deceiving lies, we can get so far away from God, we can't even see the flock anymore. We can't see the shepherd anymore. We're just so lost. These lies are not from God, and they can take us into the wilderness. We've all been in that wilderness state before, and we don't want to be there again. But the Father made a way for those sheep to be gathered back to the flock. You know what he did? He chose us. He uses us. Isn't that amazing to me? I just revel on that up here a lot. I realize that. But it amazes me that someone like me, that what I was in, can be used by God in such a powerful way. He's using people who are willing to be obedient. I want to do it. I want to be obedient because I don't like the funk I was in. I want to stay walking with the shepherd and free. So the first point of the Father's heart is, number one, the Father chose us. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Wow. The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Do you guys ever sit with just one sentence of the Bible and get that? I mean, like, that's powerful, right? He'll give you whatever you ask in my name. So, of course, it's not going to be $1 million unless God wants me to use that $1 million for the world, to change the world, right? But he'll give it to me if that's what he wants it to be. We have to look for the heart's desire of the Lord in the Word, and then anything we asked for that mission, he will give it to us. Amen. He made the first choice to love and die for us, to invite us to live with him forever. We must make the next choice, to accept or reject his offer. And without his choice, we would have no choice to make. So he gives us a choice. He chose us and he gives us choices. Next step, we also must choose if we want to follow him fully, to become mature and walk in the things of Jesus in our world today, not simply receive salvation. Because some people do that. They get saved, and they continue to walk, and they're saved, and then nobody else knows anything. They just walk with that in their heart. We need to mature. We need to walk on mission with Jesus and not just believe in him, but to actually be a doer of the word. A doer of the word is someone other than somebody sitting in the back row asleep. She opened that up for me so well. Ephesians 4:11-13 says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service. So that's a fivefold ministry. Why do we need a fivefold ministry? To be equipped. If you want to walk fully on mission with God, you need to be equipped. You don't just start out running. Babies don't do that. Babies have to be trained, babies have to be discipled, and babies learn to mature in Christ and walk in his grace and his mercy and his love on deeper levels. That's the fullness of God. So, let's see. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Now, can you imagine? We're the body of Jesus. If we've fallen asleep and he's trying to walk, he's limping. Come on, body, wake up, wake up. I can't walk. You're not awake. Wake up. I can't lay my hands on somebody because you're sleeping. Wake up, wake up. He gave me that the other day. I'm driving. I thought, ooh, wow. I mean, that's happening, right? That's why our world is being taken over at the moment. No, it's not, because Jesus is on the throne. So we have to rise up and we have to be the ones willing to walk and to lay hands and to speak the name of Jesus. Come on. We don't want Jesus limping. He doesn't look good to the world when he's limping. Yeah, that's right. He's the head, but he needs the body. He needs us just as much as we need him to change this world. All right? We want to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Are we there yet? I don't think so. Our world needs to see him in a different way, in a light that changes, brings light into the darkness. You all know that people are getting desperate, right? You see people go on the yes, and look at the shootings in Fort Wayne now, and the world in the music industry. Oh, I heard a new one the other day. California and New York are going to fall off the earth because their people are so deceived. Seriously, God's not going to allow part of the United States to fall off the earth. He's going to send warriors in there. Right? Are we going to be a part of that? Yes. In verse 15, it says, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Do you want to be part of that full, mature body? Yes. Yes. We have things to do. We have things to do. The Father gives us his Holy Spirit and all the authority of the name of Jesus Christ to accomplish this ministry of Luke 4, 18 and 19. He even gave us his armor. Pastor Don spoke about that this morning, to protect us in the battle against the enemy. If you know your armor and you put it on and you know how big that armor is and how tough and strong that armor is because it's God, you're not afraid. You're not afraid to go into the battle. You're not afraid to speak to somebody some serious stuff. You're not afraid to walk into a Kroger. Amen. Because you carry Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? Come on. We're not going to allow the enemy to keep us out of places that are here. They're not going to take us over. It's not going to happen. We're wearing our armor. It's his armor. It's his righteousness. When we're standing in righteousness, our shield, our breastplate is huge. And it's tough. And it can handle it. So our mission here at MFH is to, one, follow Jesus. We're all doing that because we're here today to hear his word and to worship him. Two, we need to be changed by Jesus. We need to be discipled so that we can transform. Because if I wouldn't have got discipleship, I wouldn't have known what to do with the freedom that I got. And I would have sat with just a little bit of freedom. But as I was discipled, I started growing and shedding the lies that I believed from my whole life. The lies that the church had fed me. The lies that told me that I couldn't do things. The lies that told me I couldn't preach. Here I am. Come on. God wanted to use me. He wanted to use me. So he set me free. And I just have to be willing. And here I am. But discipleship is what it took to get to the place, to reach the mission, which is the third thing. Be on mission with Jesus. We want to do these things for him. We need to be discipled to get there so we can get the fullness of God and mature, right? So Jesus is resurrection power. He is the power to transform lives and bring freedom and peace to each of us. As an expression of that power, we here at MFH have an engaged team that carries out the mission that Jesus Christ commanded us to go and make disciples, Matthew 28, 19 and 10. Our team consists of appointed members who go into homes or public places outside of the church. We also have ministry at the end of every church service with our full team. So if we find that there's somebody that can't get to their home, we invite them here. Come here. Come here and experience the fullness of God. The goal is to accomplish the release of the power of God for transformation in his people through faith in the word and prayer. Hallelujah. I love going into people's homes. I just got to tell you, it's exciting. They invite you in. There's a different principle there than going on the street. Yeah. When you go on the street and you share the gospel with someone, it's different than when you're invited into somebody's home because they have a need and they're desperate for Jesus. Yeah. It's a whole different ball game, and it's wonderful. So point number two, the Father loves us. John 14, 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. He loves us, and the promise right there is that he will show himself to us. He will show himself to us. So that means that his glory is going to be shown to us when we walk, when we talk, when we share. His glory will come. His glory will come because that's the promise right there. I too will love him and show myself to him/her. Hallelujah. Okay, that's love. That's love. John 14:23. Anyone will obey my teaching, love him or her, and we will come to them and make our home. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? He's going to come and make his home with us. Amen. This is good. He loves us, but it says we have to obey his teaching. So when we get out of the obedience arena, then we have conviction. And then he corrects us just like a dad would do, right? Now we're thankful for that love too. So John 16:27 says, "Know the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father." So there's the living word, having accomplished everything God sent him to do, and he returned to the Father. But he's still the head, and he needs his body, right? So he's now in us. That's the beauty of all that. He returned to the Father, but he sent his Holy Spirit to reside in us so that power will come out. So one example of the love of God is in the story of the crippled woman healed on the Sabbath in Luke 13:12-13. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. That woman had been going to church for 18 years. And when Jesus walked in the room, the power got her, and he set her free. That was me, 50 years. 50 years it took. But boy, when I hit the power of God hit me, transformation happened. And you know, when you see someone, for me especially, when I see somebody with an ailment, I am on that. I just, come on, Jesus wants to set you free. You just don't understand healing yet. Come, hear what Jesus says. And I give him the word. Jesus is good. So I'll tell you a couple of things our engaged team has done. We had a woman call us during the tent meeting last year. She called because she saw us on Facebook, and she said, "Can you please come? I'm stuck in my home, and I can't get out. I have an illness that won't allow me to go out." So we took a team in there. We took three people. And when we're out there, the three of us, the rest of the team is back here praying, you know? And that's so powerful because we need that veil open for her. And so we went into that home and we ministered to her. Praise God. You know, then there was another one. We went recently to someone's house. A couple of us went. And we went because his wife was struggling with some illnesses. But you know what? The whole family got saved. Salvation happened because they had not heard the real Jesus story. All they heard was church, and they didn't want to go to church anymore. It was too churchy. And so when we shared the gospel, we just walked through it. The young boy come out. He was peeking out the doorway like this, and pretty soon like this. And he comes over and bought the third scripture that I was sharing. He's like, "I want to hear this story." So he was so excited. And all three of them received Jesus fully in their hearts now. So that's Jesus, right? That's him walking. That's him going to reach the lost. They were lost because they had been churched to death. To death. And so we spoke healing, we spoke life, and the family came to life. It's exciting. It's so exciting. You know, then we have another family member of someone here, and we just Zoomed with her, and we watched her come to life. We said, "Today's the day of salvation. It's your healing day. Write it down. Write it down." And she did, and she just, oppression from her whole life fell off of her. Hallelujah. The next week, you know, it just fell off of her. She's like, "I've never felt so free in my life." And she was a Christian.
And on Zoom.
You can do it from Zoom. Hallelujah. So I just tell you these few things, you know, just, you can do this. However God's got it lined up for you, just be willing. Just be willing. Be obedient. This is the compassionate love of God. His mercy healed that woman in the church, and it heals people as you speak. As you believe that the glory of God is in you and shines out of you, you got to believe that it will happen. He will present himself. The glory of God will flow out of you, and they will see him. They will be touched by him, and they will be changed by him. Shows the love of the Father, right? Point number three, the Father honors us. John 12:25-26. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. In other words, we are close to him. I always tell people, I'm in his armpit. That's where I want to be, underneath the shadow of his wing, in his armpit. Because if I'm over there, I am not in the shadow of God. And people can't see him. Because you have to be so in him that they don't see you, they see God. That's what our goal is. Not that they see me walking, they see him walking. Right? And it says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. In other words, it's him. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Can you imagine that? The Father is honoring us. He's honoring us. When he said to me, you are willing, and you, that's why I sent you to the 99, or to the one, excuse me. That's why I sent you that day to them. They will never forget that day. They may not have come back here to church with me, but they know that the church came to get them, that Jesus came to get them and brought them donuts. I was like, man, I should have bought something healthy. But, you know, they would have got here. We probably would have bought them lunch. I mean, they missed lunch. Just saying, for a zombie walk. But see, the word says that that the devil sends this, comes to steal the seed. And that's what happened. Even 2 weeks in a row, we talked to them, and they were excited. And they followed us on the streets. They were so excited to see us ministering to different people. They followed us. But when it came time to get in the car, the devil had already stolen the seed. So that's not my biz. My biz is that I went, I took them donuts, and they won't forget that. They won't forget that Jesus chased them. Maybe they forgot it for now, but when they get saved, really saved, they'll remember that Jesus came. So I just let that go. I'm like, it was worth it. It was worth it. So Jesus honored us as we encountered his people, bringing hope and light into desperate situations. He always honors us. He shows up. We could speak and speak and speak and nothing happens. No, Jesus honors. Jesus told us in the Great Commission in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So are we doing this? Are we being obedient to the Father's word? If I said to my child, go clean your room. Later, when I went to check on them, that isn't done. And I question my child and say, why didn't you clean your room? Well, you know the child's going to say something. But I organized my video games. Did the child do what I asked him to do? No. The fact is that my child was disobedient to what I spoke. The command was to clean the room. Are we obedient children? I ask you right now to take a minute and ask God, am I being obedient to your word? Am I doing what you said to do? Is what I do look like what you told me to do? I just ask you that. The Holy Spirit will tell you. If it's not enough, just repent. Pick up and go on. He's cleaning you up. He's cleaning you up to make you be that fully on mission person with him. And trust me, I have missed it many times. Many times as I go run after people, there's times that I don't because I'm in a hurry or I want to get on my own mission of ice cream or whatever. And I have to repent for that. And then he brings me to another one. He always is faithful to that. So don't sit in condemnation from this. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. If he's convicting you that you're not on mission with him yet, get on mission. Amen. That's why I'm preaching this, because this is my heart whole bunch. Because if somebody wouldn't have encountered me, I would never have been saved. I would have been lived a life of really horrible stuff. So we should be seeing his promises come true before our eyes. Verses 17 and 18 of Mark 16 says, and the signs will accompany those who believe. Who's the believer? Us. We can be speaking to you, but you gotta believe it first. It's your belief that the word is true. It's your belief that the glory is in your hand. It's your belief that the Holy Spirit is in you. And if he told you to pray for him, even if he didn't tell you to pray for him, let me just speak this right now. We don't always have to be going, do I go pray for this person? They've got a walker. Do I need to? No. They're under infliction. The word says go and heal the sick. So I don't need to at that moment stand there and analyze while she wanders away with her walker. Tell me how long that took. Right? To wander away with a walker. No, the word says go and do. So you don't always have to stand there and analyze, do I? But I'm going to tell you, when you see somebody under affliction, doesn't your heart cry for them to be free? Don't you feel that in your heart? Like they need freedom. I'm always saying, honey, give me a minute. And I go pray for somebody that's, you know, crutches or whatever, because that's the heart of God. And that's where he uses me. So whatever your thing is, you see somebody on drugs and you know they need Jesus, well then help them. You see, you know, whatever it is that he's telling you to do, that's your mission. And if he's told you that, you don't have to stand there and analyze, do I go talk to him? The word says, go do it. And it says the signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. A couple people in this room that go after them demons. They don't even think about it. They don't even ask God, do I? Nope. In there. Okay, that's their mission. They will speak in new tongues. That's the Holy Spirit. They will pick up snakes with their hands. Don't recommend that unless he tells you. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not harm them at all. Right here is the promise. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. So it's right there. The Holy Spirit's already telling me the word says so. So you see somebody who's afflicted with something, go do it. Let Jesus flow through your arm. He's in you. All you got to do is put your hands on him. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Believe that he will answer that. Believe. Just believe. So the Father's divine nature is in us. The fullness of God resides in your spirit. He gives it to every one of those who everyone believes in him. Carries his anointing. So you don't have to look at some preacher on YouTube and go, wow, they got the anointing. You got it too. Yeah, you got the same anointing. Yes. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Right there it tells you his power is at work in you. Hallelujah. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, and amen. Amen being, this is true. So there is not one of us that has more power than the other. We have the fullness of the Lord God living within us, each and every one. All resurrection power resides in you, and it's up to you to believe him. He is no respecter of persons, so that means every one of us has the same amount of anointing. Praise God. Well, why do some people get more response than me? Another choice we get to make is to decide how much power we want to allow to flow through us. God is a spirit, and we have to allow him to reside in us. We have to allow him to come out of us. He gives us a choice. He won't force himself on anyone. So we have to decide, do I want him to flow? Well, then I need to get more discipleship so I know how that works. That means reading the word, by the way. Got to read the word and put the word in and say, yes, what do you think, disciple maker? How does this work? Help me. Amen. What we have to do is consecrate ourselves, submitting to God. Use our faith to press into that resurrection power. All right? We have to allow his spirit to flow through us. Sometimes that takes a minute. I watched a whole lot of videos of Benny Hinn and Kenneth Hagin, and I'm going, they got so much anointing. How do they do that? It's believing God. It's believing God and consecrating yourself to Him, putting out the things that are not of Him so you can flow with Him. It's being humble to God. And deciding that that's what you want to do. I want to be willing. I want to be obedient. So I have to humble myself, submitting to God so that He will flow through me. Right? Because if I'm mad at my neighbor and I'm all the time complaining and grumbling about the fence on the line, He can't flow in that area. So I have to consecrate myself to Him and push that out. It says that He must increase, we must decrease. So to have that anointing flowing, you got to get those things of the world out so He can flow through. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. We have to just decide to let Him out to do the work of His ministry. And He will do it. It's not about us anyways, right?
Yes.
He just wants to use us. We should be seeing people's lives transformed. It's miracles, signs, and wonders. According to the Bible, they always follow the preaching of the word. If we're not seeing it, then we have some faith stretching to do, right? If you're not seeing that flowing through you, you have some faith stretching to do. Because His promises are true. They never return void or empty. So if He says, go and do this for this person and go to their house, I expect when we're there, the power of God's going to flow. Because He told us to go. We're all praying. We're all believing. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. We need wisdom and revelation and to believe the word of God and just go do it. It's my favorite word, go. Go, go, go. We are the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's what makes Jesus, Jesus today. Right? Jesus walked the earth, but He's not here now. How is He here? We don't want a limping guy. We don't want a guy with his hand strapped behind his back. We want Jesus, and He's using us, and we are Him today. He needs to distribute this healing and salvation to all of His children, all the ones that He knows that are already going to receive Him that haven't heard it yet. They're out there. They don't know it yet, and He's needing us to go to get them. Bringing the lost into the kingdom and those who have strayed in any area and are hurting back to the fold. You know, it says that God already knows who's going to say yes. And He knows they're out there being deceived right now. There's a lot of them. A lot of our family members. Right? And it makes your heart hurt. The compassion of Christ is in you going, we have to reach the lost. I've talked a lot about the lost in the area of the church, but the lost in the world is out there. We have to be willing. We have to be. I mean, just walking through the grocery store, smiling and blessing people gets their attention today, right? Most people are so busy and distracted and angry and hurting, you know? Give people the benefit of the doubt. They're hurting because they don't know Jesus yet, and you're the one that's going to change everything. I mean, wow, right? People are waiting for it, and they're needing His presence now more than ever. We should be following of Jesus so closely that we see Acts 10:38 come to life. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with Him. You can put your name in there. God anointed Tanya Schnitz of Nazareth, Fort Wayne, and with the Holy Spirit and power, and how she went around doing good and healing all that were under the power of the devil because God was with her. Right? Put your name in there. Get that in you. That He will do it. Because that's what His word says. The Father honors us in our relationship with Him. He honors our faith. Are we honoring Him in our relationship with the world? That's a tough question. Are we doing what He asks us to do? Again, if you haven't, and just repent and pick up and do it. He's not beating us over the head, but He wants to use us. And this is why we have a message like this every now and then. Point number four, the Father gives us peace. Praise God for that. I mean, we all have experienced His peace, and I am hitting it hard up here, but the peace of God is what He gives us. And so John 14:26-27 says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Everything. He gives you everything you need. Wherever you're at, if you are a brand new Christian, you got saved yesterday, but man, you're just excited and you want to tell somebody else your testimony, praise God, it'll work. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. His word says, do not be afraid to do this. Do not be afraid, because when you're not afraid and you believe that he will work in you, and you talk to a stranger, they come to life, you know you're doing your mission. You know you're doing life, and it is successful because he's moving. And when I ran after people and I was wrong, well, they let me know it. And I was like, oh, well, I learned something that one. I learned that one, didn't want, you know. You learn as you walk, just like a child. You learn if you stick your finger in an outlet, it didn't work, don't do it. So, you know, he teaches us as we walk. All right? And we grow stronger as we walk. And every day we put in the word, we get stronger. Stronger. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, you walk in joy and peace knowing that he's going to give it to you. It says all hope will overflow out of you. So when someone's desperate and they're battling cancer, been a couple people's places recently with that. They're battling cancer. I'm not fighting the cancer. I'm just telling them that Jesus says you're healed. Yes. And it overflows out of me, and confidence comes with it because I believe the word. Yes. The confidence comes with it because you believe it. Yes. Praise God for that. He will take away all fear and give you boldness to preach him for. So if you take a look at the bulletins in the back, there's one line in there. It says, through our union with created for a life of good deeds, deeds that reflect God's heart of love and generosity towards mankind. I appreciated that being there. Just happened to be, I'm preaching the same thing. I also have made up, because I'm a teacher, that's one of the things I like to do. I made up a handout, the ministry of Jesus Christ and our mission today, Luke 4:18-19. Please take one as you leave and ask the Holy Spirit to bring you revelation into your heart so that you can be his hands and feet. And to wrap up, I would like to finish with the prayer of Jesus in John 17:17-23. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. The word sanctified means to be set apart and declared holy for God's special use and purpose. So it says Jesus sanctified himself so that we can be truly sanctified. Don't let his sacrifice go to waste. Verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. This is Jesus. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Promise the glory in there. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. So the recap of the heart of the Father is 1, the Father chose us. 2, the Father loves us. 3, the Father honors us. And 4, the Father gives us his peace. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.